worship. My name's Hannah, and I'm the Oasis Campus Minister, and I'm so glad to be here this morning with you and get to share with you some of my heart and the heart of this church and the heart of God. Let's start in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and this space, for your presence here. Lord, I thank you for each person here and for the ways that you have walked alongside them. Lord, I ask that right now you give us your ears, your heart, that we will be completely open to you. That I will be open to you as I share your words. Thank you for what you are teaching each of us. And may we always be a community that shares together what you are doing in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, there were two young men who walked through the limestone hills of Arizona. And they felt the ground breathe. A long, strong exhale. Could it be? The whisper felt and followed led them to a buried, hidden treasure. And they devoted all of their time to this treasure, to this buried kingdom. Karchner Caverns, with its massive cave formations and its beautiful colors and its long passageways, was the discovery of a lifetime. And these guys knew it. And so these young men pursued discovering, enjoying, protecting, developing, and sharing this beautiful treasure with all that they had. What do you pursue? What do you pursue? This church family, together, we pursue life with God. Life with God. Is life with God something that you want? Is life with God something that you really want? And I would guess that the answer to that question very much depends on who you think God is. If your picture of God is that he's grudgingly keeping the universe together or kind of out to get you, man, that's not somebody you want to spend time with. But if your picture of God is anything like the God that Jesus knew, the God that Jesus revealed, then, oh, I so want to spend every moment of my day with that God. Jesus is the full revelation of who God is. There is nothing un-Christ-like about God. Let me say that again. There is nothing un-Christ-like about God. Jesus shows us the Father. On Monday nights at Encounter this semester, we're going to be looking at our narratives about who God is. And this is something that you can dive deeper and deeper and deeper into your entire life. because it's our narrative, our internal mental picture of who God is that we relate to. We don't relate to God or anybody for that matter based on who they really are. We relate to people, we relate to God based on who we see God as in our minds. And so do our narratives match up with the narratives of Jesus about who God is? Do you know the God that Jesus knows? So, life with God. What does this life with God look like? And again, we turn to Jesus, not because he's always the right Sunday school answer, though he usually is, but because Jesus shows us better than anybody ever could what life with God looks like in the way that he lived and in the way that he teaches. We've been studying the life of Jesus this year as a church family. In the life of Jesus, we see most clearly what God looks like. He looks like immense love for others, compassion for the harassed and the helpless, for the weak, for the marginalized, for the rich and the poor. We see him turn power structures upside down in order to show love and care for people. We see him feed the hungry. And we see him display power so great that sometimes we question, could it have really been real? Jesus lived an extraordinary life, the extraordinary life. And this is the life that he invites us into. Jesus invites us into life with God. Jesus teaches about life with God throughout his teaching, and what he talks about as life with God is the kingdom of heaven. He uses that term in Matthew. It's the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to spend some time in Matthew today. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, go ahead and open up to Matthew 4. And this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, that Matthew gives us this first peek into what is Jesus' ministry about? What is he teaching? Verse 17. Here's Jesus' teaching over and over and over again. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And a quick aside, repent is not like the shame-filled, guilt-filled word that we often kind of put on it today. Repent here means to think again, to reconsider your life in light of. So reconsider your life in light of the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come near. It is close. It is here. It is present. Jesus ushers in this kingdom of God life, this availability of life with God. This is the central focus of Jesus' teaching throughout the Gospels. God with us. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he proclaims this arrival. It's not just this someday when I die reality. It's this very present here and now reality of the availability of life with God. And we're invited. We're wanted. We have a seat at the table with God. In Matthew's first teaching section, which we typically call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes what this kingdom life is like. What does it look like for someone to live in the kingdom of heaven? What does it look like to live life with God? What do these people look like? What do we look like? So go ahead and flip to Matthew 5. And we're going to start in verse 21. And you'll see throughout the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus isn't giving a list of external rules of what people are supposed to look like on the outside. In fact, what he's doing is saying, you've got the list of rules, but really that's not enough. That's not what life with God is about. Life with God is about the internal. So if we start looking at 21, he's talking about anger. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. If you insult a brother and sister, you'll be liable to the council. If you say you fool, you'll be liable to the fire of hell. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. It is not about the external behavior. It's about the posture of the heart. It's not enough to say, I'm good, I didn't murder anybody. That is not the litmus test for life with God. It is about this internal transforming work so that our heart's posture is for life, is towards reconciliation, is towards wanting to bless your neighbor, wanting all things good as we see each other through the eyes of God as valuable, beloved sons and daughters. It is a posture and heart of wanting to live in right relationship with each other. This is the life of the people of God. It's this internal heart. I'm going to give another example. We could go through forever on this teaching. I'm going to give you one more example of what Jesus is painting of what somebody in relationship with God looks like. Verse 33, again, you've heard it said in those ancient times, don't swear falsely, but carry out your vows to the Lord. Okay, so Jesus is saying, you heard it said, don't lie and do what you say you're going to do when you make a vow to the Lord. But I tell you, don't manipulate people with your words. That's where this verse is going. Do not try and so convince people. I swear, you got to believe me. I promise on my head. I promise on my mama's head. I promise whatever it's going to be. Don't try and manipulate people with your words. Be the kind of people that when you say something, you just have to say it and people know it's true. Be the kind of people that are not trying to control or coerce people, but just say what you're going to do and then do it. Don't make a big fuss in production and try and get people to do it your way. You don't have to swear on anything. Just do what you say you're going to do. Be the kind of people that have an internal transformed process within us that just overflows into our external. Jesus doesn't give us a list of rules. He's much more concerned about the heart. People who live life with God are transformed from the inside out. We aren't trying to behave well. The behavior naturally flows out of a posture of the heart and the mind. And as we live into this abundant life with him, our habits, our passions, our desires, all of that is transformed and changed to match the very heart of God. What we desire becomes the very desire of God because of who we are and how God is changing us. That is life with God. Life with God leads us to be transformed people who live out of the goodness of God and his work within us. And we are people that are free. Free from the baggage of the nastiness that can get in us. It gets taken out. We are free from selfishness that so blinds us to the needs of other people. We are free from the fear that grasps for power and control. And we're free to love, to fully love. Not for our own gain, not to get something, but we're free to love people and to love God. Free to be most fully who we were created to be. To live fully into our fullest selves. We are free to be in good, healthy relationships as we live life with God. We're free to laugh and to enjoy the beauty of God's creation and his people. We're free to see with more wisdom than our years would indicate. We're free to be forces of good in this world through God's power. People who live life with God live in an abundant world because God is who they're living with. The goodness of God is so powerful. The friendship and companionship of God, walking day by day, hand in hand with him, is what is the best thing in life. The externals around us, even as stuff is just going rotten around us, those externals, do not matter as much. Because we still have abundant life, because God is with us. He is the very best thing that we can have. Jesus talks about the value of the kingdom of God, the value of this life with God. So Matthew, after the Sermon on the Mount, goes through a time of talking about Jesus' powerful healing ministries. And then he comes into another time, a teaching section. So we're going to flip over to Matthew 13. And here Jesus has a lot of parables about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I want to call our attention to two of these parables because they talk about the value of this life with God. So starting in verse 44, as Dave read for us, the kingdom of heaven, life with God, is like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like an undiscovered cave. And it is worth everything. Everything. Nothing compares when it is found. And all of life becomes focused on God. And then the next one in 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Okay, so I picture my bead shows. I like to make jewelry, so I go to these bead shows sometimes and get these gem shows. And they have all these different merchants, vendors there. So the pearl vendor spends her life looking for pearls and selling pearls. And she goes to one of these fairs or somewhere, and she finds this pearl that is worth more than every other pearl she has ever found and worth more than all of them combined. And she sells everything for this one. The kingdom of heaven, life with God, is worth everything. Nothing that we have is more valuable. Life with God is so good, so valuable, so amazing that nothing else even compares, even collectively, all built up together. God is so much greater. So I'm willing to give everything I have for life with him. And I am pursuing this life with him full force. It's why we came here. Because God asked us to. And life with him is more valuable than the beaches of Malibu. That's where I came from. Nothing is more meaningful or more fulfilling in life. If you're wondering what the purpose of life is, it's life with God. You're not going to find anything more valuable. That is the sum. God is the pearl. And so we move forward, pursuing this life with God. And we pursue it because we get off track so easily. We are a very distracted people. We are very easily sidetracked by whatever comes up in front of us, whether it's on our phones, whether it's schoolwork, whether it's work, whether it's kids, whether it's the messy house. Those of you who know me know this is a personal issue. Whatever it is, we get so distracted so easily, whether it's our own ego, we get so distracted from this life with God. And we forget, and we get off course. And so we pursue life with God because we have to do it intentionally or we won't do it at all. And we pursue it together. We need each other. I need you. We need each other. It is not a solitary journey. When you come to Jesus and he puts his arms around you, do you know he has his whole family in his arms still too? This is not a solitary sport. This is a team life. We desperately need each other. We need each other to help us remember. We need each other to help us forgive. We need each other to help create space in our lives for the Holy Spirit's work of transformation. We need each other to celebrate and enjoy the goodness of God. We need each other to worship together. We need each other to do the mundane of life together, of picking up branches outside. And God is present in that. God is not a side gig. So let's go over to 13 still. We're going to go back just a little to verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. It's a very short little verse that I usually overlook. I've made bread. My family wishes I made bread more. If you're going to put yeast in bread, which is the best way to make bread, otherwise it's very flat. If you just kind of sprinkle it on one end of your loaf, it's really not a nice loaf of bread. In fact, it's pretty terrible. And it looks really inconsistent. Life with God is meant to have the yeast fully kneaded into every part of that life. We don't just do a little bit of God. Life with God is to be about our entire lives. Into every part. There is no part of your life, no part of your everyday that God does not want to be part of. God is present in every bit of your day. Even those parts that seem like, I'm not sure God wants part of this. God would love your invitation. I stand at the door and knock for every part of our lives. Life with God is full, and there's nothing that separates us from the love of God. There's so many ways that this community comes together to create space for each other to pursue life with God. In our Sunday morning worship, in our spiritual formation small groups, at Encounter, at 50s Plus, at baseball games Friday, see Connie, at game nights, at Friends Speak, at serving together at iHelp or Feed My Starving Children. Claire's going to tell us more about those different things in a few minutes. Jesus is inviting you into a full life with God. Whether you are far on this journey or not sure yet if you want to start, you are welcome and wanted here. If you could use a helping hand on this journey this morning, if you've made a decision to give your life for this precious treasure and want to be baptized, or if we can encourage you on this journey in any way, please feel free to come on up and talk to me or to talk to one of our wonderful leaders who's going to be at the back here. Thank you, Gary and Richard. Let's stand together and worship our good, good God.